Today we're going to be talking about anger. And I hope that if you've read your book, you've seen a new insight or two on anger. And if you haven't, why, it may be that in the next few minutes you will. The worst kind of anger. Did you know that there's some types of anger that are worse than others? You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. That's in Matthew 5:43-45. When was the last time that you felt really angry? Can you remember? Even if you can, and there are many who cannot, I have to tell you that you're probably wrong. Here's why. Anger wears many disguises, and it comes equipped with many changes of clothes. In other words, you may not always recognize anger for what it is. It's easy to identify anger when you witness a heated exchange of shouting, hurtful allegations, and jabbing fingers. You witnessed an outburst like that, and you think, now that is real anger. And so it is. But it's not the most common way people express their anger, nor is it the most damaging form of anger. In fact, the emotion of anger burns at various temperatures. It can be present even if it doesn't make your face turn crimson or cause your veins to pop out in your neck. Anger exists all along a continuum. That is, it's a process. The only difference between the stages on this continuum is intensity. And here's the stages. You'll recognize them. First one is to be what? Annoyed. Then you become irritated. Then you are upset. Then you become hostile, enraged, and the last, the most damaging of all forms of anger, is resentment or resentful. Of course, anywhere along the way, there is an opportunity to forgive, even with just being annoyed. But I'm not angry with her, you might say. I'm merely annoyed. But to be annoyed is to be angry at a lower level. Oh, I'm not angry with him, you insist. I'm just a little bit upset, that's all. But to be upset is to be angry. Shakespeare wrote that a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. It's equally true that anger by any other name is just as destructive, and one type of anger in particular tends to do more damage than the others. That most destructive villain in the anger family tends to remain submerged just below the surface, and it does its damage without high decibel scenes. Resentment is the most common form of anger, and it endangers your health more than any of its red-faced cousins. Now here's a couple of interesting Bible texts on resentment. They're both found in Job. First one, Job 5, verse 2. The Bible says straightforwardly, resentment kills a fool. Here's another one, Job 36, 13. The godless in heart harbor resentment. Do you resent someone who caused you harm? Do you harbor a grudge against this person, hoping, however silently, that one day he will get his or she will get hers? If so, you are feeling angry right now. And remember this, resentment kills. And if you continue to allow it to take up space in your heart, it will kill you. Jesus understood this. And that's probably one reason why he told us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. But that isn't natural, you object. And of course, you're right, it is not natural. And the only way you can love those who hurt you and pray for their welfare, rather than merely hoping for divine retribution, is to allow Jesus to work in you by his Spirit. Only as Christ is supernaturally formed in you can you hope to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How do you do this? The only thing that can drive resentment out of your heart is what? Forgiveness. By giving up the resentment that can kill you, you can more easily embrace the forgiveness that heals you. Now, why would anyone turn down such a deal? So that's our little scripture nugget for the day. And it's a good one. It deals a lot with what we're going to be dealing with both in talk here and then also in our groups. Let's bow our heads at this time as we pray. Dear Father, we do thank you for anger. And as we see, it can be used in a very positive way. But Father, help us to use it in a manner that would be pleasing to you. And we know that there's an intent that you gave us anger for a specific reason. Help us to use it in that manner, Father. Thank you for each person that's here today, took the time to come out, and we are very thankful for a beautiful day. And what a beautiful day it is that you've given to us. Father, be with us, we pray, through your Spirit. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So today we're talking about bitter or better. And the crux of the study is about anger. Can you remember the last time you were really angry? How many of you in here are angry people? Are you an angry person? Sister is back there. Okay. Today's goals are going to be aware when you are angry and to learn how to let anger inform you of something rather than to have it being overwhelming for you. And finally, to prevent anger from converting to resentment. Okay? And we'll talk a little bit about the continuum that we spoke of in the devotional book there. So, angry. Being angry is a reaction to something. What is it a reaction to? It's a reaction to hurt. Okay? They'll give the example that anger is on the flip side of the coin of hurt. Okay? In order to be angry, you must first have been hurt. Okay, in one form or another. And you have been angry, you probably, at every one of those points that we mentioned just a few moments ago. Most likely you've been at one of those stages at one time in your life or another. Some of us camp at particular stages. You know, maybe some of us stay kind of annoyed part of the time or irritated. What was the next one up? Hostile? So there's different stages along there. And again, I would emphasize that every one of those stages is a good point for forgiveness. So about four of you raised your hand admitting that you're an angry person. Now raise your hand now if you know an angry person. A few more hands, okay? Some of you don't want to commit to this question for some reason. So how is it that we all can know an angry person, but we're not sure whether or not we're angry? Most of us like to deny the fact that we're angry, okay? We think, yes. So Kathy?
I was visiting with my dad for a little bit, and I thought of something growing up. He always said, and he said a lot of things, but he said, for every action, there is a reaction. And anger is no more than a reaction.
A hurt.
So it's how you react to the action that is going to make you either happy or sad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not what happens. It's how you interpret or how you react to what happens.
So in one short paragraph, that's the entire lesson for today right there, basically. Okay. Now, there's different perspectives on how we look at that, but that's the essence of what we're talking about today, is anger is a reaction that God has given us, by the way, to something that's hurtful. Okay, and we're going to learn more about that here shortly. We tend to deny our anger for any particular reason. Can anybody think of? You mentioned you were talking with your father. Now, has anybody ever heard of anything like this? If you're angry, I'll give you something to be angry about. Anybody ever hear anything like that? Or you're hurt? Oh, I'll give you something to hurt about. There you go. There you go. Okay. So we tend to... We tend to think that anger is not necessarily right. Okay, it might be a wrong emotion, or at least it's a negative thing. I think we talked already one time in this setting that God is angry every day. The Bible says God is angry every day at the wicked. Okay? And it further says that you should not let the sun go down on your anger. So it really implies that anger can be in the right setting, but that you don't want to stay camped there all the time. You don't want to stay on one of these little ledges that we just mentioned. So we are taught, generally speaking, we're taught that anger is kind of a negative sort of a thing. Even if we're not taught that, we probably feel that for the most part in our society. It's not accepted to show anger. Okay, now of course we show anger, when we think about showing anger, we think of somebody who's red face and, as it said, their neck veins are popping out and so forth. But there's a whole variety of different ways to show anger. We tend to think that anger means that we're out of control. Because when we think of the extreme, many times people are out of control when that occurs. But there's a variety there, a whole different description of anger, if you think about it, starting from being annoyed and then working right on up, right up the ladder there. So we don't want to lose control. Some of us are afraid of anger. Some of us are afraid of our own anger. Okay? Some of us are what do they call the proverbial hothead, okay? And so we're afraid of what anger can do. We're afraid maybe of what we've seen somebody do under the influence of anger. Or maybe we're afraid of our own anger. We might get too mad about something. We don't like to, we don't like to be around when somebody's anger. And maybe worse yet, we've all learned to avoid people who are angry, right? Somebody's good and angry about something, like Barbara just said, I don't want to be around there, you know. I'm out of here if somebody gets angry about something. So a lot of us feel that way. So the first step to forgiveness is to recognize that you are angry, okay? So this whole triad of hurt, anger, and forgiveness are very closely interconnected here. And you must first understand or recognize that you are angry. And for some of us, this is the most difficult step. But it's so important that we recognize anger, because it points back again to the hurt, okay? Helps us recognize that a hurt has happened. Sometimes the initial understanding of the hurt is the expression of anger, okay? So anger informs us that something has happened, okay? And if we deny our anger, and if we deny the anger and try to bury it, we are burying our anger alive, aren't we? Because it will smolder. It doesn't, we need to take care of it, okay? We need to take care of it and get it off the plate, so to speak. We don't want to bury it alive. Anger is not wrong, but we need to know, as Kathy was saying here, how to use it properly, okay? It may actually be trying to tell you something that is very useful for you. So if you feel angry, you might want to simply stop at that point and kind of analyze what's just happened to you or what could be going on that might be problematic. The problem is that many people get angry more than is necessary and will stay angry longer than is helpful. Okay? So, and then as you work your way up that ladder, then we get to resentment pretty quickly. So appropriate expressions of anger can help us establish boundaries and prevent others from running over you. Okay? So it helps us identify the parameters within which we live, what we're willing to put up with and what we're not willing to put up with, and so forth. And so it can be of great help. So again, the continuum of anger, that is, all of these words, all of these descriptions fall under anger: annoyed, irritated, upset, hostile, enraged, and resentful. Those are all in the danger zone, some more than others. Okay? So we mentioned already that the purpose of anger is to inform you that something is wrong, and it will prepare you to act on the hurt or act on the message that you are getting. Let's review here, or just run through a little anger test. Okay, I think you'll like this. There's nothing really scientific about this. It just might help you identify some situations and how you approach them. There's about a dozen questions here. Okay, put yourself in the checkout line at the supermarket, okay? And you're going through the express checkout lane in the grocery store. What do you do? A, count the number of items in the cart that is in front of you. You've been there, Pat. Or do you think about what you're going to have for supper that night? So then you're driving home and someone pulls out right in front of you, nearly forcing you off the road. Do you get on the horn and give that blankety-blank driver a piece of your mind? Or are you thankful that you gave yourself enough time so that you did not have to drive like that person? Here we go. Number three, when you accidentally stub your big toe, do you kick the object with your other good foot? Or do you remind yourself to pay more attention to where you are walking? Now you can think about these different steps here, annoyed, irritated, and so forth through these. These are all steps in the anger process. Are you more inclined to think about the people who have hurt you or the people who have helped you? When you see people that you don't like, do you think of all the bad things that they have done to you? Or do you remind yourself that they have their own struggles? Now you're waiting for an elevator. Do you count how long it waits on each floor and wish people would just hurry up? Or do you talk to the person next to you until the elevator arrives? When you make a bad shot on the fairway, do you throw your club down on the ground? Or do you analyze your swing to correct any errors? Boy, that's an interesting place to be when somebody gets mad. Does anybody in here golf? John, have you ever seen somebody get good and mad, John? Have you ever seen somebody get good and mad at the golf course? You know what beats a golf course, though, is a boat ramp. Has anybody ever sat and watched people unload boats at a boat ramp? That is one fascinating place to stand and watch people. I don't know why it is, but it brings out the best and it brings out the worst in people. We used to go down to Shasta quite a bit, and the first boat ramp there is 4 slots wide. And, I mean, it was almost as enjoyable to go down there just to watch that as it was to go down and go skiing. Because especially early in the season, you know, the boats are out. They're maybe the first time out of their garage for the winter. So people are having to make repairs, and they run out of gas, and they forgot their battery, and it just goes on and on. It's an interesting place to watch people. And that's where you see some of that red-faced, neck-popping anger. Okay. When someone makes a joke at your expense, do you fire back a put down of your own, or do you laugh at the humor? When you see a scratch on the side of your car, do you scratch the car next to you? Or stop by the store to purchase some touch-up paint? When you get angry, do you yell and throw things, or do you just talk about it? So there's a few number of things there that we can relate to at one level or another on the anger continuum there. So there are benefits of anger. Benefits, as we mentioned, indicate that there is something wrong. Okay? That's an emotion. You've reacted to something indicating that somewhere along the line, someone, maybe yourself, maybe someone else, has been hurt. And that allows you to confront or to state the concern that you have for that situation, okay? Maybe you analyze the situation and say, you know, I'm hurt because of this, or so-and-so is hurt because of that, and that makes me angry, okay? Benefit of anger is it helps us to seek clarification of our goals. In other words, it might be that it helps us to understand more firmly what we stand for. Okay? You understand what I'm saying there? It helps us delineate better what goals and barriers are. It helps us to assert ourselves and to enhance our self-worth. In other words, if we see something that is not right, and we can, by the grace of God, be confrontational enough to ask a question about it, and you don't have to get red-faced and your neck veins popping out, but you can simply ask questions about things, you know, and that will help you to be assertive. That is a benefit of anger. Often, the angry situation, as you unwrap it, shall we say, leads to a win-win solution. Okay, that is, both parties or both groups, however, whatever you're addressing, comes out in a winning situation, or having learned and feeling better and doing better in the situation. It can lead to a spirited and a rewarding life. Okay, we talked about how anger and hurt are two sides of the coin. You basically don't have one without the other. Okay, and the third partner in that triad is forgiveness, okay? Resentment, as we've learned in the past, and I think it's mentioned again in this week's workbook here, resentment is a statement that comes from the French, which means that we refeel the original anger, okay? That when we harbor resentment or we hold resentment in our heart, it's because we keep refeeling that original anger, and that's something that can be very detrimental. The only reason that anger persists in our mind is because we keep rehearsing the injury that we have. Okay, the hurt and the injury is rehearsed, and with each rehearsal comes additional anger. Okay, that's part of that anger coming back up that was buried alive. Okay. So getting angry is really much less of a problem than remaining angry. Now, there's several steps to using assertiveness to reduce your anger, okay? In other words, you can use some of these pointers to lower your risk for becoming angry, okay? These are things you might want to consider. Number one, learn how to say no. Okay? Learn how to say no. And no could be said in a nice way, but learn how to say it. Number two, do what you know is right, even if others disagree. Okay? This is part of what we just mentioned. Anger helps you to set your parameters, what you're willing to go along with, and what you're not, what you know is wrong, and you cannot go along with something. So learn to know what is right, learn the parameters, even if others disagree. Know when to admit your limits and ask for help when necessary. Okay, don't be afraid to ask for help. Confront problems as they arise. That is, and you all know this, we've all dealt with this, when something comes up, right then is the time to deal with it. You don't push it back and then try to deal with it 3 months later after you've built on this whole anger pedestal here. Establish consequences when they're necessary. And we've all dealt with that, especially in regards to our children, haven't we? If this happens, then this is also what happens, you know, and we help our kids learn through that. Always be clear about the message that you intend to communicate. Okay, don't make things fuzzy or confusing, because then people don't know where you stand, and then many times you're worse off than you were in the beginning. And finally, use statements to express your point of view rather than you statements. And here's a little example of that. When you're tending toward bitterness, these are the types of things that you're going to be exemplifying. A statement you might make is, "You make me angry." If you find yourself in bitterness, it's because you are thinking that someone else is making you angry. And as such, your action is responsible for my feelings of pain and hurt, okay? And we've learned before that that's not the way it goes. So in order for me to get feeling better about this situation, then you have to act again to get me through this problem, okay? In essence, I've made this your problem, not mine, okay? I mean, I'm blaming you, but I'm reaping the rewards or the consequences of that. If you refuse to then change your action, then I will just continue to feel hurt all over again, okay? And then eventually I will resent you, and I will try to force you to make me happy again. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying there? Okay, this puts the shoe on the other person's foot. If I want to get better, the flip side of this, if I wish to get better, then it's me that makes myself angry. Okay, your action does not control my response. So I can choose how I see you and what I feel about whatever you're doing. Okay, I make a choice about that. And I'm free to say what I need to say, express what I like and what I don't like, and to do what I'm willing to do. Okay, so that is a little more of an independent sort of way of looking at that. All right, any questions about anything that we've talked about here so far? Some of what we've talked about is going to be gone over again in your workbook today. As you've discovered, there's a lot of redundancy in this class. And that's good. It's helping to reinforce many of the ideas. There's a number of interesting quotes here. There's one in our workbook here on page 105, Buddy Hackett. Did you read that one? I've had a few arguments with people, but I never carry a grudge. You know why? Well, you're carrying a grudge, they're out dancing. And isn't that the truth? We've talked about this basically before. Someone else who you feel has hurt you goes on with their life. They're not even thinking about you anymore. And you're left there holding this hurt and holding some anger somewhere along that continuum. You're either annoyed, irritated, or one of those other items. Upset, hostile, enraged, or resentful. So we also mentioned the other day, a few weeks ago now, that bitterness is the cup that you drink hoping that your enemy will die. And that's something that we just have to not have as part of our situation. We don't want to be involved in that at all. Okay, so this week's lesson in our workbook is about a guy named Peter. And I suspect that some of you could really relate to this fellow in regards especially to what is going on right now in the workplace. I mean, I've heard some pretty nasty things going on in the workplace right now in terms of terminating people. Have you heard some of those things? People who are no longer employed because of just little ticky-tacky things. Businesses trying to downsize, not knowing how to let people go comfortably, shall we say, or properly. And they're finding not so nice ways to do it. And that's what happened to Peter today in this story. So let's break up at this time, and we'll try to have you out of here by 5:30. And again, if some of you who are in my wife's group, she's not able to be here today, just join one of the other groups. Any questions? Yeah. What's that? Okay. Now here's a real famous statement. When angry feelings go unchecked, they'll mushroom into hate. So don't let time feed bitterness. Forgiveness must not wait. My mom taught me this when I was 10 years old. Ben Stewart. That's good. That's real good. Yeah, now that's recognizing that there's a problem. It's identifying the problem. It's setting parameters around it. And then dealing with it right then, isn't it? So that's good. Yeah, forgiveness must not wait. How true that is. Yeah, you just have to get on with it. Okay? Can't dally over forgiveness. Really should just move right on with it. That's great. Thank you, Ben, for sharing that. Yeah. Any other statements or questions? Yes, Kathy.
I was just thinking about what the Bible says about Jesus. And Jesus wasn't normally an angry man.
Commerce.
He was mad and he overthrew and turned the tables over. He was angry. So
yeah.
You know, sometimes I've heard of women lifting cars off of their son or somebody because they didn't want to see that person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God, praise the Lord, he works everything for good. So anger has a place in times where you have an adrenaline that without the anger, without the frustration, you probably wouldn't be able to do the things that the Lord allowed you to do. And the Lord got angry. He cursed the fig tree because he didn't have figs out of season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's times.
And of course, we know what that leaf bearing tree represented, don't we?
Yeah, we are. And I have two fig trees. They do bear in and out of season.
Uh-huh.
We are supposed to.
Yeah.
That tree just didn't have.
Yeah, I've wondered how, you know, God admonishes us not to let the sun go down on our anger. So then the Bible says that God gets angry with the wicked every day. I think that's in Psalms 34, but I'm not positive. So I just wonder, what does God do with all the angry, or all the anger that he has at the wicked?
Don't you think he probably forgives?
He does, but the sun never goes down to him. Okay, so how long does he says every day? So that implies that something starts over for him, you know. Anyway, it's a thought. Yes, Sherman.
Some of these we're talking about righteous indignation, and that's not on our own behalf. A lot of this anger has to do with us protecting number one.
Yeah. All right, we will divide up at this time. Thank you, and see you next week.